The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit to them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 things I want you to remember today. The first is our God is a God of big promises. The second is God is always good for God's word. Meaning, if God makes a promise, God's going to keep it. So in our first reading this morning, we have a little summary of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. Abram and Sarai, they were back then. And God made this promise. You are going to have descendants. And of those descendants, there will be greatness. There will be kings. In fact, this is going to be an everlasting covenant of blessing. Everlasting. And our reading from Romans highlights that covenant, that promise. And Paul ties our promise all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. And says, because they believed it, because they believed the promise, it was reckoned to them as righteousness, and they received it. But the fact of the matter is, they only sort of believed it. Paul's giving them a lot of credit. But do you remember what happened when they first got the good news? Sarah got the giggles, right? They laughed. She's like, "I'm a really old woman. Are you kidding me?" But the promise came anyway, because God made the promise. And after years of waiting for this promise to be fulfilled, because now they were even older, Abraham's 99. And he says, "Sarah, we're really kind of getting old. Do you think God really meant that, or should we help the promise along a little?" So Sarah offers her maid. I think we're all old enough to hear this story. Abraham and the maid have a child, Ishmael. And God says, "That's fine and dandy, And there will be nations that come from Ishmael too. But that's not the child of the promise. And if you read further in Genesis, it's 14 more years until they have the child of the promise. So imagine how old Abraham was that one time when God took them up the mountain and said, I want you to sacrifice your son. You know, we picture this robust man and boy going up the hill, but no, he was ancient. The point is, their faith wasn't perfect. And they certainly didn't see the grand end result of the promise, not in their lifetime. They saw one son. They could have had dreams. You know, God said, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you inheritance. I'm going to give you descendants. And there'll be blessings to the whole world forever. It will be an everlasting covenant. But in the moment, Abraham and Sarah could only see just a little glimpse of the real promise. Just a little corner of it. And so now fast forward to our gospel reading. And you have Jesus and the disciples. Now Jesus has just, in the Mark equivalent, fed 5,000. And last week, the week before, we remember Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and the heavens being torn apart, and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Can you imagine? Being Peter and saying, I heard the voice of God. And this Jesus, who is close enough to me to touch, to talk to, this is the Son of God. And now Peter has seen him feed the multitudes. And Peter has seen him heal. And Peter has seen him cast out demons. And Peter is thinking, this is the Messiah. And I get to be right next to him when he rolls into glory. But you see, Peter had a different idea what glory would be. Kind of like old Abraham, providing a substitute. Peter thought glory would come now. And it would all be great and glorious now. And Jesus said, no. See, I am the Son of God, but here's how it's going to roll. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. Imagine being Peter in that time and place, on the other side of the resurrection, thinking, but you are the Son of God. You're the Son of God. This can't be. And he says that much. And Jesus rebukes him. Get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And isn't that just about where we come into the picture? When Jesus calls us to follow him, What is he really calling us to do? What is he really calling us to do? I know deep down you have the answers, but I also know we have to come back together Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to remind ourselves, to remind each other. I saw a news story the other day that said that there's some non-Christians on a college campus that wanted to see what it was like to be Christians. So they gave up chocolate for Lent. I want you to think about what it is that outsiders see of Jesus when they look at us. Do they see us giving up chocolate as our grand sacrifice for the year? Or do they see the living Jesus in us? Those of you who are newer maybe don't know, but we do ask our members to do a little mission moment every once in a while. And we have a booklet of them out in the parish hall if you'd like to read them. A reminder of why we're all here and why we're here together. But I was so touched this summer when Steve's baseball player passed away in a car crash. And I know Steve ministered to those boys as a Christian. And his words were even in the newspaper, words of faith and confidence and hope. We saw Jesus through this tragedy because Steve wasn't afraid to let folks know what the real source of his hope was. We see that through so many of you, and I know you do witness that. But we also have to keep coming together week after week after week to remind ourselves, what is our hope? What is it to be a follower of Jesus? Am I following Jesus today, this week? Am I following? If people followed you around for a week, would they find Jesus? Would they see Jesus? We have to come back together week after week after week to remind ourselves of God's promises, which are bigger than the things that we think are so important in the here and now. Think about it. How often do we ask God to bless the path that we're on when we choose the path, as opposed to asking God to choose the path for us? It makes a difference. When Peter said, "No, Lord, this can't be," Peter had a path in mind. And I don't suppose any of us would have chosen much differently. Peter enjoyed the crowd's accolades when Jesus fed the multitudes. You know, Peter could go, "I'm with him." Yeah, see that thing he did there when he healed that? "I'm with him." Right? But when it came to the cross, Peter's like, "Nope, don't know him, never met him, never saw this man before." Fortunately, even for Peter, even for us, there's always time to come back, to ask forgiveness for our selfish, self-chosen paths, and to follow Jesus. And following Jesus isn't complicated. Our adult Sunday school class is learning about this again. Love God, love neighbor, trust God for all the rest. It's not complicated, but it's not easy. But our God is a God of big promises. Bigger than any of the personal goals we have for ourselves. Bigger than any of the personal desires we have. Regardless how great we think our plan is. You know, healing the sick and feeding the multitudes, that wasn't a bad plan. But the cross is where salvation came. The cross is where God fulfilled God's purpose through Jesus Christ. The cross and the resurrection are where our hope comes from as Christians. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in the God who is a God of big promises, a God who is always good on God's word. Amen.